Welcome.
This is the Entertainment Answer.
I love it. I've got chills.
It's fast, fun, and frolicking.
I feel like I should say something smart.
Welcome to the Entertainment Answer.
Well, welcome to this week's Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungle and Brian Kluger with you, but not with each other.
That's we're always with each other.
That's our new motto. Is like we're always with each other in spirit.
I like it. I like being in spirit with you. But we did see each other this past week.
Yeah, we did. No, it was good. It was a good time. We saw each other at a screening for Wonder Woman, which we're going to talk about here in a little while.
Yeah.
But as we're recording this, did you have a good Jewish holiday yesterday?
I certainly did.
Is that a personal question? I don't ever know.
Oh, no. You know, you have some kosher brisket. You have some kosher bacon, seafood, shellfish. It's all good. I mean, they stopped checking on me a long time ago because I was a lost cause. So
that's funny. Well, a lot of questions on the Entertainment Answer today. We're going to ask. We're going to check out what ruled the box office in May. Can Wonder Woman save DC Universe? Is Ex Machina the biggest reason to get 4K? Plus, we're going to have some trailer news, wrestling news, and much, much more. So let's just start off by talking about the May box office, because now we're entering into June. Brian, would you agree that May was a pretty solid month to kick off the summer?
I do agree with that. Absolutely, I agree with that. May had some pretty big movies. Maybe not like the most amazing film, but financially, yes.
So you don't think that the money reflects the entertainment value that we had in May?
No, I don't think so. Do you?
I don't know. I mean, Guardians brought in $340 million. This is obviously U.S. This is domestic numbers. But through May, 4 weeks, $340 million, that's a lot of money. But Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was really good.
It was, but yeah, that's true. It was 340. And that was the biggest one. The second one of that was a huge drop off. But I guess it hasn't been out as long as Guardians, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Alien Covenant, this was its second week. It only brought in $13 million its second week. It opened up with like close to $40 million, maybe almost $50 million the opening weekend. And then it dropped off to like $13 million week two. So, I mean, I think it's kind of bottomed out. It's at $60 million for 2 weeks. Pirates of the Caribbean debuted. Dead Men Tell No Tales debuted at $78.5 million. That's pretty good. I mean, it debuted with over as much as Alien has done in 2 weeks. But I enjoyed the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Dead Men Tell No Tales. I thought it was a fun movie.
Wow. Well, you like all of the Pirates movies, right?
Yeah. I like the first two. I liked the first two. The second two, I was like, eh. But I think the reason I really liked this one was simply because it did reflect back to the first one a lot. I had the same feels that I got from the first two films I got in this one. So you know, so box office for May, you know, $78 million for Pirates, $340 million for Guardians, $60 million for Alien. You know, Snatched even brought in $41 million over 3 weeks. King Arthur brought in $35 million over 3 weeks. So not bad. Not bad,
it's not
at all.
Bad. However, I guess if you want to take a people like the movies, I guess Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was the one that was everybody you would ask, like, yes, I really love that movie. Every one of those other movies that came out that we mentioned, Pirates, Alien, maybe Snatch, King Arthur, Baywatch, not, it's kind of split or people didn't like it. So, but, you know, I guess you would say, what would you say? If you took out Guardians of the Galaxy, this would only be what, a $200 million month, which is not that good. But since Guardians of the Galaxy is there, you have, you know, over $500 million month.
We're going to take a small break. When we come back, we still have a lot of questions on the Entertainment Answer, including can Wonder Woman save the DC Universe? All that coming up right here on the Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to the Entertainment Answer. This is the Entertainment Answer.
And welcome back to the Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. A lot of questions being answered on this edition. Coming up later in the show, we're going to ask if the cast of the new Murder on the Orient Express is the best ensemble of the year. I have an opinion on that. But first, Mr. Kluger, can Wonder Woman save the DC Universe, or has it already?
I don't know about if it saves the DC Universe. However, definitely use this style and wit and good filmmaking from now on, then possibly this DC has found their niche. Like, Wonder Woman, I'm here to say, is damn good. Damn good.
Yeah, and I agree. And you hit on a couple of points, what we saw in this one that we haven't seen in the past, and that is the humor, the wit. It just feels, it doesn't feel as dark. It's almost like DC finally got the idea that maybe we shouldn't make our films so depressingly dark. I mean, do you think that's one of the characteristics that helped elevate this one to be a better DC film than what we've seen?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's more relatable. I mean, you have, you know, you have the old Superman movies with Christopher Reeve, or even like the old Batman TV show, or, you know, just talk about comic book. DC took the comic out of the comic books, basically, with these Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad. It just wasn't funny. Like, it's just all dark and brooding and emo and, like, why don't you press Superman? You've got to make him likable and relatable and fun. That's what Marvel does so well. And you can have an element of darkness to it, but, you know, you're there to have fun and entertain. I don't want to watch a 3-hour movie with a depressed Superman walking around with his head down. No. And then what Patty Jenkins did with Wonder Woman was just, oh, it was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. And Patty being, of course, the director of this new installment. And in listening to interviews with her, she wanted to make a great Wonder Woman film. I think she is a fan, which helped. She wanted to go in, and I think she felt the pressure to sort of, not that she was like, oh, I have to save DC, but she almost had to feel that pressure that we've got to do something. We've got to do something because Wonder Woman deserves a film that is better than what we've seen in the past when it comes to all this DC stuff. So you're right. I think she took the helm and did a great job. We're going to break down some of the elements of Wonder Woman. Again, it comes out this week, but I think Brian and you and I both agree it's amazing. When you first heard that Gal Gadot was going to be Wonder Woman, what was your first thought? Were you cool with that? Were you a little reluctant? Were you like, who is this? I have no idea.
Well, I knew who she was, and I thought to myself, okay, that's all right, okay. I guess I could care less either way. That was my initial thought, and then, you know, I saw her in Batman vs Superman, and even though she was only on screen for a couple minutes, she was probably one of the best parts of that film.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think it wasn't until that moment I was like, oh. Okay, yeah, I will buy her as this, but now seeing her as Wonder Woman, I gotta admit I'm kind of crushing on her a little bit.
Yeah, she just she got every emotion out of me, and like she just played it with a lot of class. She was strong and courageous and brave and funny, and I mean just everything I think you would want in a Wonder Woman or you know Diana Prince character, and she like just owned every minute on screen. Like there was not one moment where I thought like, oh, she's like 90 pounds, she would never be able to do this. I never thought that. She just completely owned all that.
Yeah, and as big and as strong and as powerful and as just determined and focused as she was, she never lost her soft side. There was always this inner beauty about her that you would expect. Okay, this woman really did just step off of this Amazonian island where these women are trained to be able to kill anybody they want to, but at the same time are 100% woman. She never lost her femininity and all that
right.
Power, which I think was so important.
Correct. Yeah, no, I loved it. There was like, you know, the nurture side in her always, but she was definitely the strong warrior as well, which I think, you know, all women have.
Yeah, as one of the characters said, and I had to agree with, he was like, I'm a little bit terrified and aroused at the same time.
that was a great, great line in that movie.
Yeah, it kind of summed up, I think, how we all feel about her. Now, Chris Pine, who it's hard to watch him now and not think Captain Kirk, but he steps in here And I was okay with Chris. I'm not saying that his role wasn't interchangeable. You could have put a lot of guys in this role, and it would have worked. But I thought Chris did pretty good.
Oh yeah, he did perfectly. He's just a lot of fun to watch. He has a lot of charisma. He's great in this role. And I read that he's signed on for a multi-picture deal, so I guess he's coming back. Don't know how.
Don't know how. Excuse me. Yeah, I don't. You know, it could be. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they would have to do. Yeah, I don't want to say any more because I don't want to give anything away. But yeah, that would be interesting to see how that pans out. But yeah, his character was fine. He had some funny moments too, and I think we got some of that cocky Captain Kirk that we're used to getting, that little swagger that that he can bring. So I was happy with that. Now
it was great to see Ewan Bremmer in the film for his little role. Spud from Trainspotting 1 and 2. It was just great to see him in this Wonder Woman character.
Yeah, the whole ensemble cast I think was great. And then you mentioned, you and I were talking after the screening, that Robin Wright was sort of pretty solid in this one as well.
Oh, I want a prequel film just of her. She was so great in this film. Oh man, she just, like, her eyes, like, it just, you know, because she's so good on House of Cards, which we'll probably talk about later. But oh my goodness, she just, every time she was on screen, it's like, I want to see more of her.
Yeah, and if you don't know, she was the one. She was the general of the Amazonian women's army. So she's the one that trains everybody. So she's like this gladiator almost role, which she has this intensity. But I thought everybody was pretty solid with this. Now, were you a fan of the comics? Do you know the history enough where you watch this and go, okay, the island has to be a certain way, where Diana comes from has to be, or did you really care?
No, I mean, with films and comic books, it's always an adaptation. And I always, you know, take that adaptation, and I like to see what the differences are and similarities are. But with Wonder Woman, they really did a good job with her origin story, with the island, with the villains, with, you know, her weapons. Like, it's a lot. You can tell that Patty Jenkins and all the comic book consultants on the movie really, you know, knew their stuff and transformed that or transitioned that on screen here. But, you know, what may not work in a comic book won't work in a movie. So, but Wonder Woman did it well. I do have gripes about Wonder Woman, but I still think it's a really good film.
All right. Well, real quick, I mean, we've got, you know, maybe half a minute left in this segment. What were some of the griefs that you had with it?
Real quickly, probably the last 15 minutes of the film, the final battle of the movie really felt reminiscent of Batman vs. Superman battle. It just was cheesy, hokey, and just not what came before it.
Yeah, there you go. I agree. It was a little long, could have been shaved off some stuff, but overall, not bad. We're taking another small break, come back, talk about Blu-rays, Murder on the Orient Express, and more right here on The Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. This is The Entertainment Answer.
Oh, welcome back to The Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungo, Brian Kluger. If you only knew the conversations that happened between segments, if you could only hear between the lines.
Oh, I think we need to do a separate show just on that.
You know, that'd be awesome. It'd be like the outtake show where only thing we air, like, you can go online and listen to only what happens in the breaks.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, so, that would be greatness. I should try to do that.
We should do that.
a lot of stuff coming up on today's show. Murder on the Orient Express. That trailer just released as we're recording this show. And then some more wrestling news, what we're binging on, and more coming up. But first of all, the question for this segment, is Ex Machina on 4K enough reason, Mr. 4K, to revamp your entire home theater system? I know you don't have to do any revamping. You've already got it set up. But for the normal average Joe, is this what we've been waiting for to revamp our 4K system?
The answer is no.
The answer is you should have done it already.
No, the answer is no. Not with the particular releases of Ex Machina. Yes, it is a slight upgrade from the Blu-ray as far as visuals go. a little, and the HDR is probably the spotlight here with the wide range of colors, but it's not a huge upgrade in the sound. The audio presentation was the same on the previous Blu-ray, which was the DTS X, which is kind of like Dolby Atmos, where it's exactly like Dolby Atmos. So it's the same thing. So you're not getting a lot of upgrade, no new extras. However, one that does come out June 6th that you would probably want to upgrade your system is actually the 4K UHD release of Dredd. You know, the remake of Judge Dredd, Dredd with Carl Urban.
Right.
Oh, wow. the visuals on that, the video quality is just outshines the previous release, and the Dolby Atmos track on Dredd is like demo worthy. If you got a new system and you want to show off to your friends how crazy the sound, your new sound system is, put in Dredd. It, you might have neighbors coming over to see if everything's all right. It's that loud and amazing.
Now this brings up an interesting question, because hearing you talk about this, I'm not a big fan of Dredd. So to me, it's like, oh, okay, I could watch a mediocre movie that looks great, or I could watch an amazing movie like Ex Machina that looks only slightly better. I'm still going to go with that. I mean, was it the fact that Ex Machina looked so good already that even getting it to 4K just wasn't a big jump because it already looked amazing?
Well, you know, it just... it already looked really good because it was filmed, you know, in the 4K type of realm. And it used, like, this super wide lens. So, like, you know, it looks softer than most movies. Plus, there's a lot of, you know, fog or smoke effects in the film, too. So that kind of hinders detail just a little bit. But with if you're talking about 4K and UHD, you want something that is a huge upgrade. And where I think, you know, 4X Mach is good. It's just not a huge upgrade like Dredd is. Also, Snitch, you know, that the movie with The Rock where he wasn't really The Rock in the movie? That's on 4K, and it looks and sounds amazing.
Now, which movie was that?
Snitch is a film that came out, when did that come out? It came out a few years ago, and Dwayne Johnson had a son who was arrested for drugs.
That's right, yeah.
But it was a movie where The Rock really wasn't The Rock, like he wasn't the savior or the strong guy. He kind of like got beat up and just was a dad, so it was kind of cool to see that. But that is on 4K, and it looks and sounds amazing as well, even though it's not like that big, typical Rock action.
Right. So what else is coming out on Blu-ray DVD you're excited about that's maybe outside the 4K realm?
Now, you have Beauty and the Beast, which I think is one of the worst movies ever made.
Oh, see, you and I, we've fought about this. If you've been listening to the show for any time, you know that Brian and I almost broke up over this movie. It was just, oh, I can't believe you didn't like this version of Beauty and the Beast.
It was so bad. But that's coming out on Blu-ray and DVDs. Tons of extras. You have Bambi is being released on Blu-ray from Disney, so the Signature Collection.
Right.
So look out for that. A Cure for Wellness is coming out. It's a big week, like crazy big week for Blu-rays. But yeah, you have Cure for Wellness. You have, what else do you have? You have Juice, the 25th anniversary edition of Juice. Remember that movie? How old were you?
I do. Yeah, I was well stricken with years.
Okay, good. And Major Payne is finally getting a Blu-ray release, which I'm super excited. Major Payne's one of the funniest movies ever made.
There you go. All right, if you say so. Well, as a note, if you want to win a digital copy of either Beauty and the Beast or Bambi, you can jump over to mongolshow.com. We're going to be giving away some copies of that again. Beauty and the Beast, the new version of that, and Disney's release of Bambi. They're bringing it out of the vault. You can jump over to mongolshow.com and for a chance to win that. Cure for Wellness, You're on Your Own, that movie we could spend a whole show talking about. Take another small break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new trailer for Murder on the Orient Express and more right here on The Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. Welcome to The Entertainment Answer.
Welcome back to The Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungall, Brian Kluger with you. Always good to hang out with my buddy as we bring you answers to all of your entertainment questions. Now, you're not old enough even though you have your knowledge sometimes seems far vaster than mine. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the original Murder on the Orient Express, or if you read the book by Agatha Christie, or you're familiar with it, but this new one is coming out.
Yeah, it is. Like, I wasn't alive in 1974. However, I've seen Murder on the Orient Express quite a bit, and it has a hell of a cast from that original film directed by Sidney Lumet. So I am excited to... I mean, we heard about this new one coming out, and Kenneth Branagh is going to direct it, and I'm excited. In the trailer, like you said, came out today. Wow, that was a really good trailer.
Yeah, and now I pose this question for the entertainment answer. Is the cast of the new one the best ensemble of the year?
I mean, I guess that's in the eye of the beholder kind of thing, of like who you like, really. I mean, but yeah, like, I mean, yes, I'm trying to think of another movie so far this year that had a crazy cast like this in this setting, all kind of like taking place in one kind of small room.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's been movies like, you know, that we've seen, even like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, that cast is always stellar together. That's a great ensemble cast that they came back for the second one. But, you know, we've seen them together. We know how they work. This is a wide range of people from, you know, Johnny Depp to Judi Dench to Daisy Miller. Or Daisy Ridley, I'm sorry.
Daisy Ridley to Michelle Pfeiffer, Josh Gad, Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if you could have a dinner party, invite people over who... It's so weird. It's just an odd grouping of people to put together. That's what makes it exciting to me.
Yeah, it totally is. And, like, if you're unfamiliar with the Murder on the Orient Express, if you remember the movie Clue with, like, Tim Curry, it's kind of like that, but better and on a train.
Right, right. Yeah, Agatha Christie wrote a great novel with this. Hercule Poirot is a great iconic sleuth. And, yeah, I mean, Clue is one of my favorite comedies. I mean, I watch it all the time. It's one of those I put on like a favorite album. I'll throw on Clue and just watch it.
And I love train movies like with trains like as like a character, basically.
Like Thomas the Train Engine and...
Thomas the Train Engine and Throw Mama from a Train and all sorts of fun stuff.
Chuggington.
Yes.
Yeah, what was the one that... The one trailer. Of my favorite train movies? Was it Strangers on a Train where the two guys meet and they decide to kill each other's people in their lives or something?
Oh, maybe. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it's an old black and white film. I think it's called Strangers on a Train.
It's good. I like train films, so having this there and having this cast, which I think is really, really cool to see, and then the trailer. So many you get a trailer that shows everything in the movie, but it's not this trailer. The trailer just kind of, okay, murder happened. Who done it? And yeah. You get to meet every character, and it's just so well done. And, you know, I love Kenneth Branagh as a filmmaker, and it's just cool to see how this will come to fruition, really.
Yeah. Now, how do you think, because I always get a little leery when somebody stars and directs, because something always seems to lack. You know, it's kind of hard. And Kenneth Branagh can probably do it, but I always get leery of people who try to throw on a hat and bring in this great, powerful role that we need from Hercule, but then has to direct this sort of cast. Do you think that could be something that sort of derails this train?
I think Kenneth Branagh can do it, and I think he's done it several times before. He's just dang good at what he does, really. With him doing both roles, I think he'll do it. Like Ben Affleck, it's hard to compare Ben Affleck to Kenneth Branagh, really, but Ben Affleck can direct himself in movies, and he does usually well, like mm-hmm. Argo. So I hope for the best with this, and it doesn't look like Kenneth Branagh is the main person here. He might be like the person to kind of like further each plot point.
But he's Hercule Poirot.
Well, yeah, but I think it'll rely on most of the other characters.
So you think he's just going to be the one that kind of walks around like Columbo and asks questions and then lets everything else kind of...
Yes, that's how I see it.
All right, we'll see. But you say so.
You'll say, we'll see, we'll see. But yeah, no, I am excited for this. This is one trailer that really, in a long time, that really got me excited for a film.
Yeah. Well, it comes out November the 10th, which by the time we get there, we'll be expunged of all the summer blockbusters and I think ready for something like this. Coming out in November, you think you smell any Oscars around this yet? I know it's way too early to tell, but.
Oh, I mean, Murder on the Orient in Express. I mean, it very well could be. For this type of movie, it just depends on how well it's executed. I mean, it could get a direction. It could get, I mean, maybe Kenneth Branagh might get a supporting actor, but I mean, there might not be like a best actor or actress here. It's all like, you know, supporting or like a group effort. So
yeah,
who knows?
The original Murder on the Orient Express that came out in 1974 that you mentioned, Ingrid Bergman won a Best Actress in a Supporting Role Oscar for that. So
right, right. And it was nominated for costumes and cinematography and writing and music as well.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully this one will live up to that because I think it's such an iconic story. That if you're going to remake something like this, because we've seen it in the past, and I doubt very seriously if this one's going to go that route, where they remake a movie like this and then they try to make it campy and just overly silly and just dumb.
Yeah.
And you've got Johnny Depp stumbling and bumbling around and Josh Gad being goofy. And, you know, I don't see this one going that direction, I hope. Because what was the one with Johnny Depp that they kind of, it was a classic. Kind of a dark comedy TV series that they did a movie about.
Lone Ranger?
No, well, that one too. That was horrid.
It was horrid.
Oh, what was the one with? Was that? And had Johnny Depp in it.
Sweeney Todd
wasn't bad. But I don't like it. Oh, Dark Shadows.
Oh, okay, Dark Shadows. All right.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
See, I didn't either. And I'm hoping they don't go the direction with that. I hope they do something solid. I want a very solid murder mystery because we already have Clue, like you said. We already have our Clue. We don't need another one of those.
Right.
That one's good on its own. So anyway, so if you want to check out the trailer for Murder on the Orient Express, you can find it just pretty much anywhere because it's out now. Take another small break. Come back talk about binge-worthy stuff. Plus, I'm sure Brian's going to have some wrestling news. All right.
There is some wrestling news.
All right, here on the Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to the Entertainment Answer. Welcome to the Entertainment Answer.
And welcome back to the Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. Been a good show. We've answered a lot of questions for you that I know have been on your mind through this Entertainment Answer. I always like to focus on things that we're binging on because we talk a lot about movies. We go to screenings a lot. We talk about movies and Blu-rays, but there's other forms of entertainment. So is there anything you're watching right now, Brian, that you're like, dude, I just stumbled across this or found this or kind of addicted to this that you want to share?
I did binge watch Master of None season 2 with Aziz Ansari, and it was fantastic. Episode where Aziz goes on dates, and one of his dates is a huge pro wrestling fan, and through the whole date, pretty much talks about pro wrestling. And I thought, oh, my life is on television. So I got real excited about that, all of season 2 of Master of None is excellent. Please watch that on Netflix. Also, I'm watching Zeke, and I'm watching Silicon House of Cards. Season 5 was released, so I am knee-deep in that right now.
So you have started House of Cards. I haven't started it yet.
Oh, it is so good. It is so good.
Because House of Cards is my favorite Netflix original. It's probably one of my favorite series that has been on any network in I don't know how long. And what I don't like about it, this season seemed to have came out quicker than other seasons in the past. Because I know when I start it, I'm going to finish it and I won't have any more. That's always my concern about binging something. So like even the last season of House of Cards, I watched everything but the last episode, and I waited almost a month or so before I watched the last episode because I didn't want it to be over.
Yeah, no, that's how this one is. I have not finished season 5 yet. However, so far, so good. And it's it's a very suspenseful, tense show right now.
Yeah. Now, are we getting back into what happened in season one and two of House of Cards are still my favorite. Those are the ones that I think solidified fans where you were like, every episode was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I just saw happen and the corruption. And then they got a little dramatic through the last two seasons. Is this one, are we seeing more of season one and two in this one? Because I can't wait. I'm gonna binge it this weekend. Or most of it this weekend. But, I mean, have you found it compares more to earlier House of Cards or more of the later dramatic House of Cards?
Well, I think it's more later dramatic House of Cards because, you know, at the end of season four, you have the hostage situation and then Claire and Francis looking at the camera saying, you know, we're going to run on fear. And that's, like, definitely how this season starts off, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I tell you what, the cast of this, and you know, there's a movie coming out next weekend, Megan Levy, which has Kate Mara in it. And Kate Mara grabbed my attention early on in House of Cards. If you haven't watched any of House of Cards yet, you need to go back and watch it. I'm not going to say what happens, but Kate's no longer with us in this series. And probably what was one of the most jaw-dropping... Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. It was so amazing.
I remember that. That's one of like the things in television history that will always be stuck in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it was literally like, oh, I can't believe what just happened. What just took place. Yeah. Well, as always, I know you have wrestling news and things going on. So is there ever a down period of wrestling? Because I know WrestleMania was a couple of months ago. Is there a lull? Like in the movies, or what happens with wrestling, or is it always just balls to the wall?
It is always balls to the wall. Speaking of balls to the wall, come July here in Dallas, American Airlines Center, there's going to be a great Balls of Fire pay-per-view here. Get your tickets. However, there is no downtime in the wrestling world. There's tons of indie stuff. WWE is constantly doing stuff. And as of this coming weekend, this coming Sunday, June 4th, in Baltimore, Maryland, and on the WWE Network, only $9.99, the pay-per-view called Extreme Rules is going to air, which is a Raw-only pay-per-view. And what is Extreme Rules? That means anything goes. There's going to be blood. There's going to be weapons. It's going to be crazy.
It's you go into like a different, you go into like beast mode when you're talking about wrestling. It's like, it's like this, it's like almost like the little Lego good cop, bad cop where your head spins around and there's a different guy on the other side that talks about wrestling. It's like your energy level, it comes up like 100%.
It's exciting. It's exciting. And in this pay-per-view, the main event is a Fatal 5-Way Extreme Rules match, which the winner of this match will determine the number one contender for the WWE Universal Championship that will go up against Brock Lesnar in Dallas at Great Balls of Fire. So in that match, you have Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe. And Extreme Rules match means anything goes. So there's going to be ladders, tables, chairs, trash cans, kendo sticks, fire. It's going to be insane, and I can't wait. I really hope Finn Balor wins because, like I said, Finn Balor held the title for a day, but he had to give it up due to an injury. So technically, he never lost the title to anyone. So that'll be cool. That'll be good. You also have Alexis Bliss and Bayley in a kendo stick on a pole match for the Raw Women's Championship, which means whoever can climb the pole to get – that sounds amazing – to get the kendo stick first will get to use the kendo stick for the rest of the match, which is, you know, a huge advantage. The Hardy Boys are back in town. Jeff and Matt Hardy are back in the WWE. They are the current tag team champs, and they're going up against Cesaro and Sheamus in a steel cage match at this pay-per-view. Oh, there's just so many good things happening. I'm just excited.
Now, are you going to go see it live, or are you going to pay-per-view party it?
Well, so Extreme Rules is in Baltimore, Maryland. I am not going to Baltimore this weekend. However, I will be live in Dallas.
Well, as always, for more wrestling with Brian, you can follow his podcast, which is Wrestling is Everything is Wrestling. No.
Yeah, to the Multimedia Men podcast on iTunes, where you can get all sorts of different podcasts, including the Wrestling is Everything is Wrestling.
There you go. Check it out. We're going to take another small break, come back with some closing thoughts right here on The Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. Welcome to The Entertainment Answer.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Entertainment Answer for the show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you, bringing you all the answers to your entertainment questions. A lot of stuff coming up this week. Of course, summer's full of movies, so we're going to be seeing a lot of great stuff. What are we seeing next week? Next week is it The Mummy that's next week?
I think The Mummy is next week. You also have It Comes at Night and My Cousin Rachel.
So are you excited about The Mummy at all?
No. I think I have to go into thinking, okay, I'm going to get a mission. It looks stupid. There might be some cool aspects to it, but I think I'm going to come out of like, oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, I hope it's good because I like monster movies. I like these kind of throwback to, you know, the werewolf and mummy and Frankenstein and, you know,
News alert, this does not look like a monster movie. This looks like a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie.
Right, I know, but I mean, we could get something. We could get something we're not expecting.
We'll hope for that, but chances are slim to none.
Yeah. And speaking of dead things coming back to life, you and I still going to try to check out Iron Maiden here in a couple weeks?
Iron Maiden, yes. That is going to be 3 weeks from now. Matt and I will be at Iron Maiden with Ghost opening up for them. That is going to be a killer show. And I finally get to see Matt and see what he does to rock out at a heavy metal concert. So I'm very excited. We're going to be taking videos for sure.
Well, why would I be any different?
Well, I've never seen you rock out before. I've seen pictures of you with long hair and guitars and everything, but I haven't seen you go full, you know, beast Mungle yet.
Yeah, you know, I almost thought about bringing my bass and playing along with every single song up there. Instead of air guitar, having a real bass and just playing along with Steve Harris note for note.
Please do that. I wonder if you can get that past security.
I don't know. Probably not. Probably not.
We can just air guitar. Oh my gosh, Iron Maiden! I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. So summer's gonna be fun. What else is coming up? You're excited about other than movies and other than wrestling? Is there anything this summer that? Are you trying? You try to take some time off? You're gonna enjoy yourself?
I'll probably go to Austin a couple times, but that'll be for wrestling. So you said no wrestling. and basically, I try to get some sun in at the pool here and there, and maybe take a trip or two, maybe to the West Coast to see some friends. Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Yeah, to live the life of Brian.
What about you? Are you doing anything?
I don't know. I'm going to try to take some trips too, go back and see some family. And summer's always good to, it's like you said, just to kind of get some sun. You know, we've already, you know, spent some time out by the pool. Just, you know, it's fun to get off at the end of the day and go grab my four-year-old and let's just get in the pool, grill some stuff, you know, and just kind of swim and hang out. And that's some good downtime, you know. You don't want to just blow and go all the time because, man, I burnt the candle at both ends and the middle for so long that sometimes I just really like these really quiet, reflective
times. Can I burn some candles with you in a hot tub or something?
You know, it always goes so awry. I don't know. Of course, you can always come over. Got the hot tub. We can crank up some speakers, some tunes.
I love that. I love it.
Great.
I love it.
All right. Well, tell them where they can find you on the big wide web.
You can find me, Brian Kluger, boomstickcomics.com and highdefdigest.com, as well as Twitter and Facebook and Instagram under Brian Kluger. And of course, The Entertainment Answer. You can find us at The Entertainment Answer on Facebook, The ENT Answer on Twitter. We have a YouTube channel, The Entertainment Answer. Find us. And of course, go to The Mungle Show for the podcast version of this, or Cable Radio Network for our radio show. We're all over the place. We're easy to find on there, right?
Dude, we are everywhere. So yeah, if you can't take us live, take us however you can get us. And we'll be back next week to answer some more of your entertainment questions. Have a good week, my friend, and I will see you at The Mummy, I guess.
Yes, indeed.
All right, see y'all next week.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer.